And joining us today on Perspectives is Arlene Pelicane, and she has written the book 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. And we're going to talk a little bit about those 31 days. And if you're wondering, my gosh, it's only day six. What am I doing? And it's hard, I know. Not from a mother's perspective, I don't know, but from a father's perspective, I know that those first 6 months are really hard. No sleep, especially if you're trying to give your wife support there. But then things do get better, and then all of a sudden you're on another roller coaster. So that's why we're talking with Arlene, and Arlene is a speaker and author of 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Wife and 31 Days to a Happy Husband. She blogs weekly and podcasts monthly at www.arlenepelicane.com. Before becoming a speaker and author, Arlene served as a features reporter for the 700 Club and associate producer for Turning Point Television with Dr. David Jeremiah. Arlene lives in a happy home in San Diego with her husband, James, and her three kids. Arlene, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Great to be with you, Louie.
Now, let's start a little bit about yourself before you became a parent and when you were a child and as you grew up. I'm sure that your parents probably told you the same thing that a lot of parents tell us, you know, just wait till you get to be my age or just wait till you have your own. And then you don't understand because you're going, well, you know, how can this sweet kid here turn rebellious when he's 13? Who flips that switch and all that stuff? So did you already have kind of an idea as to what you were going to do when you became a parent, or did you just kind of have, like everybody else, oh my gosh, what am I doing? No instruction book, and here's this little child.
I don't think, you know, except for those maybe who are their nannies all throughout and they kind of get this, I think I was like every other parent that's got this 6-pound lump in the backseat of their car leaving the hospital, like, what in the world do we do now? And I remember our child, our firstborn Ethan, is in sixth grade now, and when he would be crying, we'd crack open all the books, like, why is he crying? Is he hungry? You know. So there certainly is that idea. I don't think I came into motherhood thinking, okay, this is what I'm going to do. But I did come into motherhood with this attitude of, I really want to learn this. That's why there were all those books, you know, being cracked open. And I think as moms and as dads, it's really important to go through life like, okay, instead of saying, oh, I already know that. I've heard that. Oh, my kid's going to turn out like every other kid. Every other kid's addicted to video games, so my kid will be too. You know, instead of having that attitude that we say, you know what, I bet we could learn what's coming around the corner. I bet we could read a few books. I bet we could talk to parents who seem to be doing well and who have kids that are older than ours, you know, and I think that's really, really healthy. I grew up with a happy mom, so that did help, but I've interviewed lots of ladies for the book that did not grow up with a happy mom, and they talk very much about how you can begin that with your generation, and you don't necessarily have to parent how you were parented.
Arlene, what about the happy dads? Because even in happy homes, sometimes we hear stories, especially back in the 50s and perhaps early 60s, where dad was at the office all day, he came home, you know, he read his paper, you didn't say much to him. And a lot of dads were not involved with their children's lives, and that put extra pressure on mom.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that really has turned, that this generation of dads, they, you see them in the park, they want to be there, they're at the activities. So I think dads today are perhaps much more involved than they were in a generation past. And if anything, one thing that's got to skew back is I think we moms can make the dads feel like they're not good at parenting. You know, like, you don't know what the schedule is. You're not doing this right. You're not doing the diaper right. You know, this isn't how you respond here. And a lot of husbands can disengage because they think, I'm not very successful at this. And I think that's one area where we women can say, you know, praise the effort and say, hey, I'm so glad that you're trying to get involved. And even if it wasn't done exactly how you would do it as a woman, to recognize, hey, this is good that my husband wants to be involved. Like when I went out for the first time and I came home and my 6-month-old was still awake at 10 o'clock at night, I was like, what are you all doing? And he said, I took him to the mall and we just got home. I thought, why would you take a 6-month-old to the mall? But you know what? That didn't hurt my 6-month-old. And, you know, and thank God that my husband felt confident enough to go out with the baby. So we as women, we can kind of jump over that dad. But I think it's really good to realize, hey, any kind of involvement, we're going to praise that. We're going to be thankful for it. And you'll get more of it that way.
We are visiting with Arlene Pelicane, and she is the author of the book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. Staying on the dad topic for a little bit more, Arlene, I've heard, and this was interesting, this summer I overheard someone talking about, they were watching some kind of YouTube video, and they said, well, that is funny, but you know what? It seems like all these comedians are always making fun of men, and men come across as stupid, not being able to do anything. What do you have to say in your books as far as...
You've hit one of my buttons there, Louis.
Okay.
And that really, you know, 31 Days to a Happy Husband, that book addresses that a little bit more. Then I interviewed Kevin Sorbo, who played Achilles in all sorts of different roles, and he's talking about how Hollywood typically will show this male, and he's unemployed, he's fat, he's lazy, he's the butt of jokes, and the mom, the woman, is superstar. She's gorgeous, and she makes lots of money, and she can handle all the kids. And this is really a bad storyline that we have allowed to come into our homes, and we've laughed at, and not realized that, okay, if boys are growing up with this kind of model being shown to them, then they're going to say, oh, well, I am supposed to just sit on the couch. I am supposed to just play video games. I am just supposed to be in this for me. And that's not at all what we want to portray. So I really encourage the moms in the home, be a gatekeeper for what you allow to be watched on the TV. How is the dad portrayed on the show? Is there a dad? For the music that comes in, and then our attitude. You know, it's okay for moms to talk, and they say, oh, your husband did that? Oh, that's nothing. My husband did this. But if you talked really well about your husband, oh, my husband's so great. He made dinner the other night, and he took me out for a date. The other women would glare at you like, well, aren't you, you know, princess of the universe? And we've got to make that a good dialogue that, hey, when we do praise our husbands in public and our children hear us praise our husbands in public, and that boils down to respect, and for a woman to have respect for her husbands, which I think is something that we really need to see a resurgence of in our culture.
One of the issues that we've had to deal with, unfortunately, over the last few years is divorce, and that ends up in single-parent households.
Yeah.
And so in some of those instances where it's a single mom and she does everything, and I know some moms who are just great at this, bless their hearts, but then there are some who, because they have a sour taste in their mouth about their husbands leaving or divorcing, whatever, that comes across to the children, and especially the sons. How does it affect them being raised by all women?
Right, and I think that's a very good point. And I interviewed Laura Petherbridge, who is a smart stepmom, and she's been a single mom, and she just talked about that there was a time where she felt very bitter about her marriage, and because it seemed to work out for everybody else except for her. And then she realized, I've got to do some damage control in my own mind and how I speak, or else I'm going to pass that on to my children. And she didn't want to pass that on to her children. And so it meant finding positive role models in her church, in her community, where she found them, of married couples, and exposing her children to that so that they could see, you know, this is how men and women can communicate. This is how men and women can build a home together. And I think that's really important to realize, wait a minute, do I want to pass this attitude down to my child? And if the answer is no, then look for ways to show good examples. I have a book, Growing Up Social, that's co-authored with Dr. Gary Chapman, and he always encourages those single parents, whether your kids are tiny or they're teenagers, earlier bedtime, and make that part of their life and bring that back maybe 10 minutes at a time. But have that earlier bedtime so you as a single parent know at the end of the evening, I am going to have some time for all these loose ends. And then the time I do have with my child at night, I can spend focusing even 10, 15 minutes of concentrated face-to-face time with them. That makes a big difference.
As a mom, you've picked up this book because you know how it feels to start the day like Mary Poppins and go to bed as Cruella de Vil. So tell us about that.
Yeah,
because I think we all can relate with that, male or female.
You start with good intentions. This is going to be great. I'm reading this book. I'm doing better. I'm a happy mom. And then, you know, somebody's crying. Somebody spilled their milk. Someone forgot their homework. Somebody's asking you for something. Somebody hurts your feelings. And by the end of the evening, you're just like, everybody get to bed. get away from me. And so it is this idea of how can we have that self-control, and how can we turn for good solutions? Are there different ways that we can parent? You know, one of the things that lead to that Cruella de Vil is yelling, tone, you know, saying something 10 times. Well, of course, if you said something 10 times and nothing has happened, your anger is going to rise. And so one thing is just learning how to have less tone and more actions. So, for instance, our daughter doesn't drink her smoothie in the morning, and this is a reoccurring kind of deal. And so instead of yelling, tone, begging, pleading, it's, okay, I'm going to pack your lunch for you, and it's basically going to be carrots and apples. There's not going to be anything else in there. So it's not this big thing, but it's just actions. These are the actions. You took a long time at breakfast. Apparently you're not that very hungry. You need some nutritious foods, so there's not going to be any kind of like cookie or anything in your lunch today. So actions. So think as a mom, how can I have more actions and less tone? And it'll make me more effective and less like Cruella de Vil.
We're visiting with Arlene Pelican. She is the author of the book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. So Arlene, as far as the book itself, you know, we don't want to give everything away. And it's not like it's a thrilling novel, but because we don't know how it's going to end because everybody has different children, different parenting skills. You mentioned a little while ago about the families that you see, and you have a chapter in there about Forget About the Joneses. But sometimes media, especially in the older sitcoms, we would see the happy family, you know, Leave It to Beaver, My Three Sons, all those good ones. And then some of the ones we see now, it's where the kid is a teenager who's very sarcastic, et cetera. So, and then I think we all know a family who has, quote, perfect kids. The mom and the dad will probably say, oh, no, you don't know what happens, you know, at home. So how do we stop comparing our children or ourselves to somebody else?
Yeah. There's one lady that I interviewed, Karen Eamon. She's an author, and she said that we can have that race to replicate. You know, as a young mom, she'd look at something, okay, I've got to have my kids in those classes, and then I will get these results, and I'll have these great kids like my other mom friend. And it didn't work. And she just talks about that this is a race to replicate that we need to not run, that we don't need to look at another family and say, okay, they're in these five activities, I'm going to put my kids in these five activities. So I want to encourage you listening, you don't have to be like this other family. There's not this little rat race that you have to get on. And probably you'll find that the more you say no to so many activities, probably the happier and saner you will be in your home. Having said that, when you do see a family that, you know, let's say you have a trouble with your temper, you're always losing your temper, but you talk to this friend and you notice, wow, she's so calm and even keeled even when all these problems come into her life, that is not a bad thing to ask that friend to coffee and say, I need help with my temper. Can you kind of talk me through, did you used to have a temper? What did you do? How do you deal with it? When you do have conflict, how do you resolve it? And that kind of comparing and learning is very positive. So looking around you, where are places you're weak that you could grow, that you could use a mentor, that you could use a new idea? And it takes humility to say, I need some help here. But that's, I think, where a lot of magic begins. So start with that humility, but realize that, you know, don't set all these crazy expectations for yourself. You have to be the head of the PTA. You have to work full time. You've got to host sleepovers every other week. You don't have to do all that. So don't give yourself all these things that are just impossible to keep on juggling. And I say keep committed to growth, be optimistic, but realistic about what you can really accomplish.
Arlene, we want to thank you for being with us. But before we leave, I know that this book, I think, could work very well as a sort of workbook as well, because you give exercises, you give examples. So if people want to follow you on the net, is there a specific page that goes with this book, or what should they do?
Yeah, they can go to happymombook.com, happymombook.com. And as you refer to, there are discussion questions at the end of the book that you can do with a girlfriend or with a group of people. And there's also a quiz at that happymombook.com. Are you a happy mom? So you can take the quiz for yourself.
Okay, Arlene, thank you very much for being with us. We've been visiting with Arlene Pelican, the author of the book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Mike Tipton. Our producer is Dennis Wu. And we've been visiting with Arlene Pelican. She is the author of the book, 31 Days to Becoming a Happy Mom. Arlene, thank you very much for being with us.
It's been great to be with you. Thank you, Louie.